Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we go into your word. Once again, I'm asking the Holy Spirit come forward to open our hearts and minds so that, Father, we not only receive your word, but we can have a greater understanding of the truth of your word, Father, so that we can help others better to come from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking you now to be with us throughout this study. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Pardon me. We're going to be in the second chapter of James this morning. And here in the first verse is, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if they're coming to you, unto your assembly, man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and they're coming in also a poor man in vile ring, and you have respect to him that weareth the great gate clothing, and said to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? 5. Hearken, my beloved brother, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? Now, that ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? do they not blaspheme that word of name by which ye are called? Pardon me. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. 9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. All right. We're going to be taking a look here now at these 13 verses. James began this passage on partiality with the exhortation, then a brief illustration. Most of this discussion is an argument against partiality. First, partiality shows inconsistency in one's conduct. Those we spurn are the ones God has chosen, and those we favor are the godless, whom God rejects. Second, partiality is more than an error in judgment. It is an act of sin. The one who shows respect to persons is a transgressor of the law. The law is like a ring or a hedge encircling those within. When one breaks this ring, he stands outside, becoming a transgressor, whether he commits adultery, murder, or shows partiality. Third, James argues that particularly provokes God's judgment. Now, as we pick up here with 14, it says, what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, we know that we need both. We need faith. Yes. But we also need to be doing the work of Almighty God according to what the Word tells us to do and not to do. But we need to be working within the will and the way of Almighty God, not man's, and we do that through faith, because most of God's work will take faith. Now, in order for our faith to really work, we also have to walk with the love of Almighty God in us. Because you see, it takes faith and love both in order for things to work. We must love everyone, regardless of who they are or what they've done. Now, we don't like a lot of their sin, no. But we have to love that sinner, just as Jesus does. And we pray for that one, that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God can change that one and bring them to an understanding that they need more than themselves, and they need more than the things of this world, that they need to be saved, and the only way for that to take place is for them to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and put their faith and trust in Him and accept that forgiveness that He gives and be on their way of working within their new life and getting into the Word of Almighty God, studying it and spending time communicating with their Lord and God, so that they have an understanding and can grow thereby into being born again and making heaven their home. Now, that 14th verse says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Not by itself he can't, no. 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. You see, that's why we have to have more with faith than just faith. This statement, can faith save you? This statement and others in verses 14 through 26 persuade some critics that James is teaching salvation through faith and works. Luther called the epistle Starway, believing it emphasized works too much. Today, some regard it as a late writing in which the author is reacting to Paul's doctrine of salvation by faith alone. This is not the case. James' teaching reflects neither a negative nor a positive response to Paul's teaching. For Paul's faith particularly equals salvation. James, however, sees two kinds of faith, saving faith and professing faith, much like the usage today. For Paul, justification is by faith. For James, justification is by faith that works, by a genuine faith that manifests itself in positive conversion works before salvation. These Jews had believed in the efficiency of work. Now some were reacting at the opposite extreme, imagining that works play no part in the salvation experience. And James retorts that the kind of faith that does not produce works is not saving faith. As Calvin said, faith alone saves, but a faith that saves is never alone. Thus, James' question is not simply, can faith save? But as the Greek text may suggest, can that faith save him? Can merely profess the undemonstrated faith save? For further discussion, the Greek grammar expects a negative answer to the question that ends verse 14. Hence, it can be rendered that faith, the one mentioned in verse 14, which is without works, cannot save. Now, but you see, the thing about it is, when we walk in faith, we walk in the Spirit, and when we walk in faith, we will have works, because we are going to be doing what God asks of us to do. We'll be in His Word. We'll know what the Word has told us to do, and that is to share the Word with others, helping them to come to the point of knowing they are in need of more than themselves, and that they need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, when you walk with faith, especially faith in Jesus, you'll have works. Now, works don't save us. We have works because we are saved. You see, now, as we go on here, with 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Because you see, if one don't have any work, he's got nothing to show. But that one that has works, he's got something to show. Now, 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But the devil also believes and trembles. Yes, he does tremble when he comes up against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to even flee and go. He cannot stand against him. But he knows. And Satan knows a lot of the word. And he'll use it to come against you if he can. That's why we need to know the word also, so that he cannot use it against us. Because you see, he's not going to give it to us God's word. He's going to twist and turn it to make it do and say what he wants it to say. Now, 20. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? It hasn't been too long we studied about that. God having him to take him, to the mountain an offering. That was his promised son, the only one he had at the time there at home. But he also knew, because God had made him a promise, that his seed was going to be also an heir and receive the things of the promise that God had made with Abraham. And so he knew he could go ahead and sacrifice him, but God could raise him up. And he took him. And he built that altar, laid his son on, drew the knife back, was ready to strike to kill his son when God stopped him. But you see, in a sense, he had passed a test. God found out just how much he did love him, that he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. Are you really willing to do whatever God tells you to do? Or can you try to find, would you try to find excuses? And a lot of them are doing it today. A lot of them are sitting back when they know that the word has told them they need to be out here sharing the gospel with others. And yet they're sitting back doing nothing. Nothing at all. And they even themselves are not in the word of God as they should be. Oh yes, every now and then they may pick the Bible up. Read 5, 10 minutes, put it down. And that's it. They think they've done their duty. But they don't really study the Word of God. And that's what this Bible study is all about. It's taking it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that you will have every word given to you as we go through. Now, 22. Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Yes, God even gave him a sacrifice to use in the place of his son. 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Oh, to be called a friend of God. Not just his son or daughter, but a friend of God. 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now it takes both for you and I to be able to walk in the kingdom of Almighty God and to receive his blessings. Now, 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Yes, she was. Now, 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, we are told here that faith without works is dead also. And yet you and I are told that all that believe in God, the works he was doing, we can do also. Now, I know that a lot of you don't believe that. Well, let's take a look and see. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In verse 12, and here's what it says. And this is Jesus talking. It's not an apostle, this is Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything, pardon me, in my name, I will do it. You see, that's letting you and I know that we have the authority to use his name. In fact, we are told to use it because that is the way we get things done. When we go to the Father in prayer, we are actually to pray in Jesus' name. And the Son tells us that we use his name. Now, we have come to the end now of chapter 2 of the book of James. Now, James is not a long epistle. We call them books, but their letters are epistles, as the Bible puts it. There's only 5 chapters to it. And God willing, this evening at 6 p.m., we'll be into chapter 3. We'll be talking about the dangers of the tongue and true and false wisdom and things of that nature. So it ought to be something that you find quite interesting, because you're going to find out more things that you actually need in order to be making heaven your home. Think about it. You see, that's what the word's all about. And it is all for you and I to grow and to be what God made us to be and wants each one to do. He has a work for each one of us, and he has it all planned out. So we can't blame him. We are the one that blocks things, not him. Now, let us pray. Father, as we close your word, thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the times that we come together to share your word. Now, Father, I pray for those that are with this ministry and those that follow, that come in, Father, to join us in these studies. And I pray, Father, that they all be in good health, they be kept safe, and that the Holy Spirit is with them, each and every one of them. And that they have, Father, everything they need. And that they're walking every day in your will and in your way, doing whatever work you have for them to do. But Father, I pray for Israel and this land of ours. I pray that we have mostly that all people of both nations, in fact of all nations, Father, would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Because, Father, if mankind would be that, we would be in peace. We would have heaven right here, peace on this earth. Now, Father, watch over us throughout the remainder of this day. Keep us safe and bring us back together again this evening. And, Father, Jenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy and Tom and Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Sue Branson, Darren and Debbie, Chris and Sam, that little family, my wife, myself. Father, we all pray to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and to work and walk with Him each and every day of our life, as we can make heaven our home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I pray that everyone will walk with God through this day, get into His Word, study it, be back with me again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye now.